Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, folks. Hope you're all well on this Sunday evening. Rory here with you on the bench until 7 p.m. And we have an awful lot to get through over the next 60 minutes. We'll be talking ladies football, and particularly the decision by the LGFA to not run inter-county or All-Ireland competitions for underage panels. We'll be talking to minor boss Joe Carroll about that in just a little bit. Reaction from Kieran Kingston after the Rebels draw with Tipperary last night. Going to talk to Cork Camogie's Paddy Murray and to Linda Collins after their win over Tipperary. And we'll hear from Intermediate captain Ashton Maloney. They also beat Tip yesterday. Reaction from Ramblers after their defeat to Shelburne. And we're going to talk athletics as well. So a lot to come over the next hour. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Glad you could join us on the show. 086 8104 106, if you'd like to get in touch with us via text or via WhatsApp. Just going to wrap up on all today's action and the latest scores from the Premier League, and one game just currently still underway. Four games in all in total today. West Brom and Liverpool is 71 minutes old. They're level at a goal apiece. Hal Robson-Kanu put West Brom ahead. Mohamed Salah equalising for Liverpool. Elsewhere today at finish. Tottenham 2 Wolves 0. Guy Swindles.
Spurs 2 Wolves 0. Spurs take a huge step towards at least Europa League qualification with a deserved victory. Harry Kane's 21st league goal of the season, setting them on their way. They then saw Højbjerg score the second from a rebound. They also hit the post three times and had two shots cleared off the line. As for Wolves, they did have the odd opportunity, but sadly most of them fell to Fabio Silva, who'd forgotten his shooting boots. Spurs 2, Wolves 0.
Crystal Palace winning in the early kick-off today, Mike Lawrence.
Crystal Palace 3, Aston Villa 2. A really entertaining end-of-season encounter with a much-changed Crystal Palace side twice battling back after going behind and deservedly taking all 3 points late on. A bright start from the visitors saw them take the lead through John McGinn, cancelled out by Christian Benteke's header. Anwar El Ghazi put Villa back in front just 2 minutes later. Palace improved greatly in the second half. Wilfried Zaha's solo effort made it 2-2 before defender Tariq Mitchell won it from close range with his first goal for the club. Crystal Palace 3, Aston Villa 2.
The last game of the day is Everton and Sheffield United at Goodison Park. That kicks off at 7 p.m. tonight. Chelsea playing in the Women's Champions League final for the first time tonight as they take on Barcelona. That's in Gothenburg. It kicks off at 8. Galway have beaten the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Champions Limerick today in Division 1A of the Alliance National Hurling League. 26 points to 117 was the final score at Pearse Stadium today. That result ends the Treaty's 14-game unbeaten run. Shane O'Neill's side continue their impressive start to the new season. Elsewhere in Division 1A, Waterford beat Westmeath 122-119. In Division 1B, Wexford coming from 8 points down. Impressive stuff from Davy Fitzgerald's side as they beat Clare 219-121. Antrim losing out to Kilkenny by 7 points, 128-315. The final score at Nolan Park today. In the Football League, the All-Ireland Champions Dublin routine win for them over Roscommon, 122-16 points. Elsewhere, newly promoted Armagh beat Monaghan 116-112. In Division 2 North, Meath beat Westmeath 16 points to 15. Clare beat Laois 116-12. In Division 3 South, Offaly beat Wicklow 114-110. And in Division 4 North, Sligo beat Leitrim 219-18 points. Team Ireland's rowers have had a great day at the Olympic qualifying regatta in Lucerne as they've qualified two boats at the Summer Games in Tokyo. First up, the women's four of Emily Hegarty, Emer Lam, Afric Kyo and Fiona Murta won their final by almost 3 seconds over China to qualify fifth boat for Japan. The lightweight women's double of Margaret Kremen and Aoife Casey of UCC Rowing Club then qualified a sixth boat for Tokyo as they finished third in their final behind the USA and Switzerland. And Seamus Power is 21 under par through 11 holes of his final round at the AT&T Byron Nelson on the PGA Tour. He's in a tie for second on the leaderboard, just two shots off the pace as well. Fingers crossed he can pull out the win there. Alright, we are going to start with Gaelic Games, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, was confirmed this week by the LGFA that the All-Ireland Series for underage level is being scrapped for 2021, the second year in a row. This is despite the GAA running their own underage All-Ireland Championships this year. After some pushback this week, the LGFA released a statement to say that interprovincial matches could take place but no All-Ireland matches. In response, the Cork LGFA themselves released a statement today saying that they were very dismayed by the decision. wanted a voice, their total dismay, and finishing with the line, let our girls play. I spoke to Cork minor boss Joe Carroll about the decision earlier on today. Okay, now I'm joined by Cork minor boss Joe Carroll. Joe, I'd imagine this has been a massively frustrating week, not just for you, but for your players, your coaches, parents, everyone involved in the Cork ladies underage football.
Yeah, it's been very frustrating, Rory, to get this. Was a huge setback to get to hear it. When we heard it first, we weren't expecting it, really. I suppose after last year, you could fully expect that there was going to be no competition with the pandemic the way it was, but everybody was looking forward to this year, and all the players, the coaches, and each of the three grades in Cork on the 14, 16 and minor were all putting their plans together and trying to do bits of work in the background while we were closed down altogether and through strength and conditioning courses and so on, and nutrition talks, and even with the Cork minors, we had a huge talk from Bridge Cork, which was very inspiring, but to hear this was very deflating.
What was your reaction, I suppose, to the ladies' football statement that came out during the week?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, like, you could make an argument for anything if you wanted to, but, like, I'm involved in GE as well, like, and there was a lot of it that was very unfair, I thought, you know, because in GAA, there's minors as well. They're under 17s, but minor boys, for example, would be under 18s. They play club. Some of them could be involved in their county under 20 squad, so they're going to play. There was a thing about exams in it and about missing schools. Like, schools are going to be closed at the end of the May. I was a teacher myself, like, I'm just retired. And there's loads of time for fitting in these things if you sit down, and the Munster competition at the moment has been planned for August. All it requires is two games, and I think the Cork LGFA have released a statement this morning with a very good suggestion that it's only two games just at the very start of September, and the thing is finished. One on a Wednesday, one on a Saturday or Sunday, just played off within the week if it had to, and at least you get the competitions played, you know. So there was a lot of very disappointing stuff in it, and I think we're going to lose players because of this story. We have lost players already that were to attend trials with us, but they're now concentrating on other codes.
That's what I was going to say to you, because obviously the biggest impact on everyone is the girls who just want to play the game that they love and represent the county that they love as well, and they seem to be almost have been forgotten about over the last couple of weeks.
They have totally forgotten, and you know, I suppose if you look at any inter-county squad at senior, the amount of players that go from under 14 senior to minor to adult, to play adult level, is very small. There's only a couple coming out of each year group in most counties. And like, I even spoke to somebody, you know, in a northern county during the week, and she said like that they didn't win anything, but she says she remembers it to this day of playing. And I think this, the enjoyment you get out of it, even if you don't win, it's great if you win, and I suppose Cork have been extremely successful down through the years. But even if you don't win, it's a good thing to make an inter-county panel, to be number 30 even on an inter-county panel. It's a great achievement. And I think they're depriving girls during this. But I think the other thing is that it's like the brother and sister in the one house. One who's heading out the boy, who's heading out the door at an under-17 boys competition and saying, I'm playing this to win a Munster, to try and win an All-Ireland. And the girl, his sister's going out the door and she's saying, look, we've only a Munster competition, we've no All-Ireland competition. So from that point of view, it's very, very, very unfair.
It's sending out the message, I suppose, that girls aren't as important as boys when it comes to this.
Oh, of course it is. It is definitely sending out a message that girls aren't as important to boys. And you know, I suppose it was a very good week for the LGFA, with money coming through for players, being paid expenses and so on, and teams being playing in big venues and the games being televised and something like that. But I think the late Eamon Ryan was one man that said this, that the biggest knockers of LGFA are the LGFA themselves within our own association, that they don't support it. And when we get something positive, that we keep it positive. Things will always go wrong in the GA. I'm involved in the GA and things go wrong in that as well. But they sit back and they take account of it and they give their county boards a chance to have a say. I don't think the county boards had any say in this, from what I'm hearing anyway. They had absolutely no say whatsoever. It should have been circulated first. Do we want to play the competition? Outline what the problems are as regards the fixtures. And when the problems are put on the table, let someone come up with a few suggestions to see, could we solve the problem without just making a hard and fast rule above it's not being played and that's it and this and so on.
Do you think, Joe, that ladies football are trying to just do this quietly and just kind of assuming that everyone would just accept it and move on?
Well, I suppose, Rory, you know, there's a lot of claims in it. There's players are going to be playing a lot of games and so on, but equally, and boys are going to play a lot of games and move on. But I didn't hear any mention of the ladies' senior championship being cancelled because that's where the money is. And fair enough, we all like to see the money, but like we have to see after the players of tomorrow. And these players now, in most cases, have gone 2 years without playing this any inter-county football. And I'm sure, like, if the boys decided there was no under-17 competition last year and under-17 again this year, there would be county boards up in arms all over the place complaining about it, and it would be rescinded. I am no doubt it would be. And some claimed in like this, maybe they shouldn't be under 14 competition, maybe they shouldn't be under 16 competitions. But in ladies football, they have been extremely successful over the years. In boys, I would say there are development squads in every county. I suppose these fulfil the idea behind the development squad to a certain degree, and it's a feeder into minor teams and from there into senior teams. So the importance of them, I think, is absolutely huge.
Is there a hope, Joe, that like now that the Ladies Football Association have seen the response from counties like Cork to this, that they might reverse their decision?
Well, I would be hoping they would. And like, you know, everybody makes a mistake. And when you make a mistake and it goes wrong, there's nothing wrong in saying that it was a mistake and just going back and look at it again and say, look, there's a big groundswell, the Camogie, there was a big argument there about fixtures as well, and it went back and there has been a new decision made and people have accepted it. There was a vote in it. Like, the Cork LGVA have called for a poll of all county boards, and I think that should be done. Maybe some counties don't want Inter, and if they don't want Inter, that's fair enough. I don't have any problem with it, but whatever counties do want Inter should be allowed Inter. Like Munster, the Munster Council have been very good, in fairness. They were on the ball right away and are organising their competitions. But I've heard that in other provinces, maybe because there's no All-Irelands, that there may not be a competition because there's no carrot. Like, for example, in Connacht, Galway would be very strong, probably stronger than the other teams, and they may get no game at all this year, so which would be very unfair on them.
And just to start,
and I have spoken like to both the Galway manager and the Kerry manager, and they'd be our main opposition with the last few years, and we're in total agreement that the competition should be played.
Yeah, fingers crossed it does, because again, just to circle back to the players, they're the ones who are affected by this. The Cork LGFA statement today says that 75 players have pulled out of trials for under 16 and under 18s, and it's no coincidence that that has happened since the announcement that has been made. It's the last chance for a lot of these players to represent their county at an inter-county level as well, which must be very upsetting for them too.
Yeah, like we had a squad together last year. Our players got ready, it got called because of the pandemic, we couldn't do anything about it, but some of those players are underage again with us this year, and they would say no minor football for Cork. And you know, Cork's record is minor football. The carrot was there alone, set by John Cleary over the last few years, and the carrot was there alone to try and entice them, and they're absolutely mad to play. So it is very, very disappointing if this competition doesn't go ahead. And just to say thanks to the Munster Council, at least we have a competition to play in, and we will prepare for that. But Cork may not win the Munster Championship. It could be our opposition, Kerry, and myself and Rory Kilgallen, the Kerry manager, discussed that. Mm-hmm. At length, that it could be either one of the two of us, but so be it. At least it started on the field of play. And that would be the hope, that it will come back. Whoever wins Munster, or Connacht, or Leinster, or Ulster, will get an opportunity to play two more matches, that's all that's being asked for. And I don't think that's an unreasonable ask of anybody.
Well, fingers crossed, ladies football, hear this and hear your suggestions and hear the suggestions of the Cork LGFA in their statement today as well, because we just want the games to be played and we want the girls to play as many games as possible in their inter-county colours, and fingers crossed that can happen. Joe, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Thank you, Rory.
Yeah, it's Cork Minor Ross Joe Carroll there speaking to us about the decision to by the LGFA to scrap underage All-Ireland series this year. Very, very frustrating, as I mentioned to Joe, not just for him and the management and the players, but for parents and players. And it's very, very hard. And hopefully, as Joe Carroll says there, the LGFA will roll back on that. And as he said, just two more matches after the inter-county series, All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. That's all they're looking for. So look, fingers crossed things can get sorted out, and it'd be a fantastic boost for ladies football and for all the players to have that All-Ireland series available to them. Coming up on full time now between West Brom and Liverpool. Still level at a goal apiece, 85 minutes on the clock there at the Hawthorns. Just look back on last night's hurling as Cork and Tipperary played out a draw, 216 to 22 points. Jason Ford with a cracking free. Last gas point for Chip to level matters to Mamahony and Patrick Corgan with the goals for the Rebels. Valerie's up there for us in Semple Stadium, and along with the rest of the media, got the reaction of Cork boss Kieran Kingston.
Kieran, all the pleasing performance.
Yeah, look, it was. I mean, okay, I suppose. I mean, it was mixed emotions after, because you're proud of the guys in terms of there were periods of the game we were playing poorly, but we stuck with it and got a result at the end. And the other side of it, and you're saying that maybe a game we should have won coming down the stretch. And it's kind of mixed emotions, really. Yeah, like that's pleasing. Like, and that's something obviously that we're trying to work on. And suppose Tip set up tonight with an extra defender, so obviously you're not going to have as many opportunities as you would if when the 6-on-6. But at the same time, we created a good few, got two, and that was very pleasing. I suppose probably frustrated when we didn't bring it home, though. When you get two goals and you don't concede any, you feel that maybe it's a game you should win. We were missing a few last night. We were injured coming into the game. We lost a couple enduring it, so we were down probably a few of your bigger names, and it is great to give these lads a chance. And I said before the start of the league for us was about A, building momentum, and B, building a championship panel. And you're not going to build a panel unless you give lads opportunity at this level. And like, you're playing Tipperary and Thurles in May, outside of the crowds, it's championship fair, more or less, because everybody's preparing for championship. So whilst it's unfortunate to be missing some lads, it does give us an opportunity to see the other guys and at this level of holding against the All-Ireland champions of 2 years ago.
The over carries tonight, the case of interpretation with another referee of going for as many of them tonight.
So I have to be careful how I answer this one.
No.
But look, you can see we were a bit frustrated there at times. When you draw a game and you concede 22 scores, 22 frees, I think 15 of them are scoreable frees, and you get 9 frees, you're always going to be questioning what's the rationale for that, you know, what's the reason for that. And look, the referees have a tough job, and I sympathise with it, but I just was baffled with some of them, to be honest. I mean, you're up against a serious, serious forward line there. As I said, when Tip set up with an extra man, then we're obviously going to have, by default, we're going to have one as well. So that helps, but I mean, we didn't give them a goal chance, and that was very pleasing. But to me, the most pleasing part was not playing well at times, we still got a result out of the game. And as I said, when you do concede 22 frees, not playing well in patches, and to get the result coming down the stretch, and maybe should have won, hit the post in the last puck of the game, that was very pleasing.
Also, suppose like Mark Coleman, another outstanding match at centre back position, and maybe he's caused Cork problems the last 2 years. Looks like he's settling in there nicely.
Yeah, look, we all know how good Mark is. I think you could play Mark anywhere. We'd play him centre back in midfield and centre forward if we had three Marks, you know. Because look, everybody knows he's a class act.
Be ahead of that game.
Yeah, the guys we both know have kind of hamstring problems, so they'll be back for the next game, to be unlikely. So, like, I mean, we certainly won't be underestimating Westmeath in any shape or form. We played them last year up in Westmeath, and we're looking to get out of there. So it also gives us opportunity, no different to tonight. It makes a few changes, but at the same time, we got to keep a core of our team right, because you're trying to get a balance of having a core of your team and still giving guys opportunities to play at this level in preparation for championship. Yeah, look, I mean, those conditions, that playing that game is obviously going to be more difficult, because there's a risk of being turned over, especially in the middle third, and we saw that tonight. But I guess just think there were times we could have maybe moved the ball a little bit quicker at times. That's something we have to look at and bring maybe more of a mix. That whereas we can have the support, but at times we got to let it go, maybe, well, especially in conditions like this.
That's Cork boss Kieran Kingston there speaking to Valerie and the Assembled Media last night after that draw with Tipperary. 216 to 22 points was how it finished in Semple Stadium last night. Going to hear briefly from our Tips' Liam Sheedy.
Yeah, could have went either way, I guess, you know. Probably going down the home straight, we were under pressure. Thought the boys showed great heart to get the draw, so that was a very, very pleasing aspect of it. Look, we were saved by the width of the post there finishing up, so it was nip and tuck, and you know, Jason got a great free to equalise it as well. So look, overall good contest again. You know, aspects of our play that we'd be disappointed with, I think we finished with 17 wides. You know, normally we convert more of our chances than that, so loads to work on. But I'm most pleased about the spirit of the group, and I thought they worked really, really hard tonight. Got some new players on the pitch again, some guys that hadn't seen a lot of action for a few weeks, so shaking off the cobwebs a small bit, and so it's all systems go again. As I said, we'll roll over tonight and we're back in here again next weekend.
The first touch, just getting that ball in your hand, I mean, it's hard then to break out with it, so it's probably just a lot having to happen in a short league.
Ah, yeah, it is, but it's, isn't it great? You know, I mean, myself and Kieran were just talking before the game, like, it's great to be back in Turles, it's great to be back playing matches. You know, we had an odd shower, but the pitch is in great condition, no real breeze on the night. So, look, as I said, match could have probably gone either way, but we're disappointed. We didn't really threaten a goal again tonight, and, you know, normally this team has a knack of trying to find the back of the net, and we haven't really threatened the back of the net, let alone try and shake the back of the net in the last two matches. So that's an area of our game that we have to work on. But look, we remain a work in progress, but spirit is strong.
Four wides, and then Cork got a goal. We had another wide after that. Is that something you'd probably want to work on?
Yeah, look, when we were 3 points up, we had a chance to push on. You know, if we had to go 6 or 7 clear at that stage, it might have seen us home. So, look, loads of areas to work on, but, you know, I suppose that was the nature of the game. You know, I didn't think there was ever that much in it. They hurt us on the restarts in the second half. You know, I thought we had great intensity on the restarts in the first half, but we ran out a bit of juice in that second half, and they got the ball away and they worked it up the field, and we never really could lay a hand on them. So that was an area we've got to work on. But as I said, overall, good night's work.
Prady at full back, you know, slotted in there nicely, and Brian McGrath really is the find of the league.
Yeah, Brian is playing really, really well. You know, it's great to see Brian coming up. But look, anyone that's watching Brian in the under-20s and under-21s, he's always been a fine player. So he's making the step up, and he's literally only doing what he's doing in training. So, I mean, he's put his hand up and he said he wants to play, which is great news for us. So, but overall, I think we're building a nice panel. There's nice momentum building, and, you know, it's all systems go again now next week for Galway when they come to town.
That's Liam Sheedy there speaking at Temple Stadium last night after the draw with Cork. Good enough game as well, but yeah, draw probably could be the fair result last night, but a great free from Jason Ford last night to level things up and get the draw for Tipperary, it certainly has to be said. Alright, nearly time up, it's still West Brom 1 Liverpool 1. We'll get your full time report on that one in just a couple of minutes. Camogie now, and Cork's off the challenge Tipperary and Páirc Uí yesterday, 3-14 to 16 points the final score. Amy O'Connor with 2 goals, Fiona Keating with the other. Cork captain Linda Collins spoke to our man Ger McCarthy.
First of all, congratulations on first victory, first back day out. May not have been the performance you were looking for, but is that to be understandable considering it's been so long?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, we're in May now, you'd forget that for the league as well. So I suppose we're happy enough to come away with the win, but obviously we're only building now at the moment. So hopefully we'll improve from here, and there's lots of learning to be taken from that as well. So,
A good score from Cork, considering it was your first day out. Positives, first of all. Your midfielders played well, everybody put a good shift in, and some important players coming off the bench and making impact as well.
Yeah, definitely, and I think that's a big goal for the league, is to play as many players as we can and use as many subs as we can, because it is going to be a short season and we don't want to fly anyone. So I think it's really important that we do make use of the bench and use our subs, and everyone is fighting for positions and everything, so it's great and there's good competition in camp.
You fell asleep in that second half for a period and Tip upped it and came back into it. They got 5 unanswered points, so as good as the win is and as important as it is, Clint, to work on for the next step.
Absolutely, and as I said, the league is a learning, so there's huge improvements to be made, but hopefully we'll build from here and learn from our mistakes, and that's to be taken as well. I mean, when it's May and we haven't played since December, so yeah.
How difficult were the first 10 minutes? Were you puffing after Oiler?
Yeah, it takes a bit of getting used to, all right, being back on the pitch and with that intensity and things, but once you get your second wind, you're not too bad, you keep going, and we've been training hard with Kevin Murray and Kevin Dunn, so all is good.
From Cork's point of view, obviously you're on the road now the next day, there's a bit of a gap to it, but plenty to work on, and having that 60 minutes or 65 minutes under in the legs especially would be hugely beneficial for you.
Yeah, definitely, and I think next week is important that we have the week, and that we won't be going out till the following week, so it's good to have the week and it's good to have the 60 minutes in the legs, as you said.
That's Cork captain Linda Collins there speaking to Ger McCarthy after their win over Tipperary yesterday. Gerald's got a chance to speak to Cork boss Paddy Murray.
Okay Paddy, let's talk the positives first of all, because first day out, having been away for so long, a good score against a good team and a win on the board.
Yeah, look, first of all, a win, I think it means that we qualify for a quarter final, which was very important. Good score, good movement, attitude was good. You know, so overall, from that side of things, you'd have to be happy.
You have to expect some amount of sloppiness, you have to expect a certain amount of mistakes, because it's the first day back.
but were you getting worried when Tip got those 5 points in a row in the second half?
Not, I suppose we always look comfortable. The crowded midfield, it probably just took us a small while to adjust to that again. You know, I suppose maybe we were smaller than lucky in the transition area a couple of times, and that we went to move it, and just that looked the probably our own skill levels probably left us down in those situations. So, but look, that's expected because we've only what, this is our 11th day out, so we haven't, you know, much done from a, you know, hurling point of view, so you expect those things.
What did you make of Tipperary? I mean, they really, you expect Coyte Devan to pick up some scores and frees like she always does, but they played really well today, I thought.
Oh, well, Tipper are a good team. You know, they're top four at the moment and they're looking to shove on. And, you know, so we expected a tough game. They're probably a more settled team than us as well, in that, you know, a lot of our, oh, we've a lot of young girls coming into our side. So, you know, that probably would be easier for them to adjust for today rather than us.
You must be pleased with the impact from the bench as well. A lot of young players coming onto the field are getting more experience, very important for them even at this early stage of the campaign.
Yeah, it is. Look, I think we have 25, 26 on our panel this year, and I don't think there's that much between any one of the players, so it's important that anyone that gets their chance has to take it.
There's a bit of a break to the Waterford game now. Does that give you time to iron out some of the things you saw today and work on the good things that you did?
Yeah, look, it, just stay going the way we're going. We're training well, and just hope that our skill levels and fitness just get that bit better in 2 weeks' time.
And just finally, from your own point of view, as you said, you got the win under the belt for the first day, and that's very important. There is a quarter final place there now. Will you experiment the next day out against Waterford, or will you look to keep same kind of setup, same team?
Look, that remains to be seen. I suppose first of all, we'll have to see how girls are going in training. I think there's a football match that weekend as well, so that has to be considered, because, you know, look, we have a number of dual players, so it's important that we keep them fresh as well. So, you know, look, I'm not going to give away much, because we'll just have to see the way girls will go on training.
That's Cork Camogie boss Paddy Murray there speaking to Ger after yesterday's win over Tipperary. Sensational scenes is all I can say at the Hawthorns, where Liverpool have beaten West Brom by 2-1 thanks to a winner in injury time by goalkeeper Alison Becker. Not even joking. He went up for a corner. Beautiful glancing header into the far post to give them the win. It was brilliant. We get a full-time report on that one in just a couple of minutes. But he was up there because they needed to win to keep their Champions League hopes very much alive. And they have certainly done that. With that win, they are now a point behind fourth place Chelsea with 2 games to go. They're 3 points behind third place Leicester with 2 games to go. It's absolutely brilliant. I love football. I absolutely love football. I'll get you a full-time report on that one in just a bit. As I mentioned, or as you heard earlier, we spoke to Cork LGFA minor boss Joe Carroll about the decision by the LGFA to cancel the All-Ireland series for underage teams this year. We've got a text in to 0868 104 106. As a parent of a former Cork LGFA minor All-Ireland winner, my heart goes out to all the underage panels. The commitment and pride in wearing a county jersey is enormous. The sacrifices they make are second to none. Most will never make senior ranks due to strength of the existing panel, and the level of retirement is very low. Underage is their only opportunity to excel and aim for a hard-fought title and medal. The pride and thrill of being successful is felt not only the player in question, but by their family, and more importantly, their home club from some of the smallest parishes in the county. The LGFA have made a very bad decision in light of the current pandemic situation, and the last opportunity for some to aim for the most important achievement any young lady can have in a county jersey. Common sense must overturn their decision. These girls will balance anything to get this opportunity. Hear, hear.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. The Big Red Bench.
We're still waiting on the full-time report from the Hawthorns to come in, where goalkeeper Alison Becker has given Liverpool all 3 points with a last-minute header away to West Brom to really push for the Champions League spots. It was a great header as well. It wasn't lucky or anything. It was a glancing header to the far post. It was beautiful. but we'll get you our full time report on that one in just a bit. Still to come on the show, we're talking Intermediate Camogie as well with Cork captain Aisling Maloney. They had a win over Tipperary yesterday, and we're talking athletics with Charlie Maudsley and Chris O'Donnell. But reaction from St. Comyn's Park last night, where Co-Ramblers luck just has deserted them this season. I asked Stuart Ashton about it in the pre-match press conference on Thursday, and I said their luck was surely due to change. Unfortunately, it hasn't, with that 2-1 defeat to Shelburne last night, and they're a better side for a lot of the game that I saw anyway watching the stream last night. This is the reaction of Stuart Ashton speaking to the assembled media.
You know, we went ahead deservedly so. Should have gone 2. Obviously, he's missed the penalty. In fairness, it's a good save, but we've had 2 snipes at it. He's made 2 good saves. You know, the rebound, should have scored that as well, if we're being honest, but again, he's made the saves. So, you know, from that point of view, you know, we're still 1-0 up at that stage, so we're still in the driving seat, so to speak. And then obviously, I think the boys are saying the shot has got a deflection. Shawnee's gone down and it's hit, I think. Was it Lee or someone, I think? And, you know, they're back in the game then. Deservedly so. I don't think so at that stage. But then, obviously, they've showed their qualities and they've dominated for a period there. And if we're being honest, we've been slack then. And we've conceded a second goal then, out of what was, not a winning position at that stage, but an advantageous position, let's say, you know, 1-0 up, like, and then 1-1, we're still in the game, and it's a fairly good game. And as I say, we've just conceded again, a sloppy one from our point of view. He's got a free header in the box. We shouldn't be allowing those things. Yeah, you know, at the minute it's not easy to do that, you know, but we've got to take the positive out of it, you know, and as you say, against a top team, a team that's up there, you know, again, we've got to look at ourselves first and foremost. And I think, as I said, the first half we matched them, if not better than them. Then obviously the second half the bounce that they got, and you know, the deflection, you know, has deflated us, you know, and rightly or wrongly so, when those things are happening regular to you, you'll get deflated. You know, we've got to keep the boys high spirits in those situations, but again, at the heat of the moment, those guys have deflated, and it's took us time to get back going again, and they've punished us for that, like, you know. They've got the tails up with an equaliser. As I said, they've showed the quality, you know, up until then I think we've matched their quality, and then we've just let the lapse go for what is a couple of seconds, a ball in and a cross, and we're 2-1 down. We've got the ball down, we've played it, a ball in behind with a great run, a ball into the box, and we've stuck it away well. And, you know, as we keep saying, we keep creating the chances, and we have to keep believing that, like, and if we keep doing that, hopefully it'll come right for us. Again, we have to close the back door, as we keep saying. Those silly things are costing us, and that's the big one for us at the minute. Yeah, you know, we look at it and we regroup again at training. You know, as the coaches, we look at the analysis of it, and we'll go through that again. But again, we've got to keep the positives, because, as you say, you know, as it's sinking in, there are positives there. The way we played, the chances we created, you know, we've just got to eradicate those silly mistakes that are costing us big time. It's probably one as well, as you say, at 2-0, it gives us a bit more freedom, you know. But again, at 1-0, we've still got to keep playing the way we're playing, and we've got to believe in that, because when we do it, we're good at it, and as we've shown, we can go 1-0 up there. But again, then, for some reason at the minute, we're just conceding those silly goals, and as I say, it's costing us big time.
Sorry, Stuart, then. Look, we see you consider Shields Grant top tonight, and the way he more than matched them for the most of the match, really. You know, it must give you some kind of going, like, in the coming weeks as well, you know, that, you know, you're more than a match, like, for the very best in this division, like, you know.
Yeah, we've got to keep believing that. You know, the table the table doesn't say that, and you know, everyone looks at the table and everyone look at the result tonight and say, oh, they lost again, and that's fair comment at this stage. So we've got to take the positives, and as we're saying in the group there, and as you've said there, we've matched the top team, you know, we've played the other teams the last few games. No one has come out and really, you know, really beat us. It's just a case of we're causing our own problems, and we've got to eradicate that quickly.
Yeah, I think if Cove Rangers had no luck, they'd have no luck at all. It's just hard for them at the moment. Nothing going their way. Played very well last night, taking the lead against Shelburne, conceded twice, and just disappointing result for Ramblers. But fingers crossed they can get back to winning ways and start pushing for the playoff spots, because it'd be fantastic to see that. And they certainly deserve it. They've been playing some good stuff and playing well in games. Just, again, just that little bit of luck has been deserting them so far this season. Alright, back to Camogie in the Cork Intermediates, also beating Tipperary yesterday, winning 2-13 to 14 points. Our man Ger McCarthy has been speaking to Cork captain Aisling Maloney.
Okay, Aisling, first of all, congratulations. A great start for the Cork Intermediates this weekend. A big win over Tipperary, 2-13 to 13. It sounds like it was a good game and a tough game. Was that the case?
Yeah, it was definitely the case. I suppose we knew before we went up that Tip were going to be a good side. They always are, having played them over the years and stuff. So we knew they were going to be strong, and especially, I suppose, going away from home as well. You know, you're going into, they're familiar with their grounds, and I suppose they have that home advantage. So we're very happy now. We're a good first round, and great to get a win under our belt on our first day out.
How tough were those first 10 minutes as a player, having not played in so long?
Yeah, it's just very different, you know. I suppose we've been off for so long with the lockdowns. It was great to get back, but I suppose that first 10 minutes, you're kind of wondering, are we going to be able to do this for 60 minutes? You know, it's a long 60 minutes when you haven't played in so long. But I think, to be fair, we had our work done in training, and I think we knew that coming in. We were able to back ourselves, that we had the groundwork done, and we were happy enough going out that we would be able to put in a performance on the day.
Yeah, because you can do all the training you want on your own, and then when you just get back, but it's quite a much smaller league campaign this year. The margin for error is pretty slim, so getting a win, especially away from home and against a team like Tip, that's about the best you could hope for on the first day out.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't have any complaints. We've three matches in our league, so I think it's the top in the group comes out into the quarterfinals, so it's definitely important to get off to a good start. And as you say, there's not really much room for error, and we're out week after week. So as you say, preparation is key there as well, you know, having girls ready to go and making sure that we have the strength and depth in our panel as well. You know, I suppose you could be carrying knocks, and as you say, the preparation is key as well, and that we put in that market training every week. And I suppose that we first get used to each other as well. And you know, it is our first year again with a new team. You know, I suppose we've been building over the last few years, but there's new girls coming in again this year, so it's a great opportunity in the league to put blood in new girls and for us to get used to each other as a team as well.
You were 8 points up at the break, and then, as you would expect at home, Tip really came at you. You managed to weather that storm and then see out the game and got a late goal. What did you learn that you didn't already know about your team in that second half?
I think we let them back into it. You know, we were very happy at half time, and we were kind of saying to ourselves, you know, keep doing what we're doing. Like, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. So we kind of went with that motto, but Tip kind of had other ideas, and I suppose they did really come at us in that first 15 minutes of the second half. I think we kind of had to just try back then, they kept tipping over the points, and we were under a lot of pressure, but I suppose it kind of showed a sense of maturity that even though we're a new team, I suppose kind of the few leaders stepped up and we didn't really panic. We kept going and stuck with the game plan, you know, trying to work the ball out and just get it up to our own forwards. And as you say, we got the crucial goal that kind of gave us a bit of breathing space again, and I think, sure, goals win matches, and today we got two of them, so we were very happy with that as well.
I must ask you, as of course you're overs, on the same day that Linda Collins captained the senior team, you get to captain the intermediates. A lovely honour for your club, but a lovely honour for yourself and your family as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge honour. I mean, anytime you go out playing in a Cork jersey, it's brilliant, but even to get the opportunity to captain the Cork Intermediate team this year is fantastic. And for Cork Rovers, our club, you know, a small country club, to have two captains from both the seniors and intermediate is massive. And I suppose that shows the year that we had last year with our club, that we won the senior county title for the first time. And I suppose we've been trying for years, and it was the year we finally got it. So it's really great for a country club, and I suppose it's great now to have so many girls on Cork teams, and I suppose to put Cork Rovers on the map as well in terms of Smoky.
That's Aisling Maloney there speaking to Ger McCarthy after the intermediates win over Tipperary, 213-14 points was how that finished. We have to get to the Hawthorns and that full-time report and that incredible finish as Liverpool beat West Brom 2-1. Abigail Davies.
It's finished West Brom 1 Liverpool 2 here. Unbelievable scenes at the end of this one. Liverpool's Champions League hopes almost suffered a huge blow here, but thanks to goalkeeper Alisson, they've managed to keep their hopes alive going into the final two games. It's finished 1-2, and Alisson, as I mentioned, scored that goal in the final minute, a header from a Trent Alexander corner. Unbelievably, West Brom may have had nothing but pride to play for here this afternoon. They defended admirably, and quite unfair that they've lost this one, but quite in fitting with how their season has gone. It's West Brom 1, Liverpool 2.
It's brilliant. It's a brilliant header. You have to see this. It's a brilliant glancing header. And Liverpool getting that 3 points to keep them right in the Champions League hunt with two games to go. It's going to be an interesting week in the Premier League. All right, we're going to talk athletics and Irish Mixed Relay team members. Charlene Mosley and Chris O'Donnell have been speaking to Valerie this week to discuss their route to Olympic qualification. Let's go chat.
Joining me on the Big Red Bench this week are Ireland's Mixed Relay team, Charlene Mosley and Chris O'Donnell. Chris, Charlene, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Valerie. Good to have you.
Thanks so much.
Guys, I mean, has the excitement calmed down any bit yet?
Yeah, I mean, we were on very much on a high last weekend. But at the same time now, it's kind of back to hard work again. You know, the job is only half done. We've only got the team there. So now we need to make sure we're in the best position possible in the next couple of months. So we're kind of back to our own individual bubbles, back to working hard. But it gave us a lot of confidence going into the next couple of months of training, and it really is something to look forward to as well.
Charlene, how were you in those few moments afterwards? I mean, there's some amazing pictures and photos that I'll be finding out afterwards that you are true, you know?
Yeah, I suppose because we had come third, we were just waiting for our time to come up on the screen. So the anticipation waiting for that was just, it was nerve-wracking. But I suppose you could see the pictures from the anticipation of us all waiting to see if we had qualified, and then when we had qualified. So it was just a surreal experience, and it meant the world to me, and it meant the world to the team. So it was just unreal. Like,
yeah, just on that as well, I think World Athletics could really see the story unfolding with us. I mean, Brazil won the heat, and I think the cameras were on them for only a few seconds, and then they just seen us kind of waiting. To be honest, I knew with the time we would run that we had qualified, we had beaten the previous heats times. But I literally said at the time, I'm not going anywhere until I see the official confirmation, because there can be disqualifications. You don't know what happened. So we're just standing there. Yeah, if you can watch it back, I think three minutes or something, the cameras are just on us, and trying to control our emotions wasn't easy. But they really bought into us, and they put up a lot of videos about us afterwards. And it was probably a good story for them as well.
Yeah, what is it like, Charlene, over the last week or so, getting the support and the coverage that you have got? I mean, that's really important when it comes to your sport.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely been unreal. Like, I think, you know, everyone is saying during the COVID-19 pandemic, like, that it's been really tough on athletes, and it's been really tough on everyone. But I think because there wasn't that much going on at home, it really made everyone connect. And like, as Chris said, our story, you know, like, everyone loved it. So I think everyone back home seeing how much that meant to us. And like, it's not every day that people do qualify for the Olympic Games. And the support that we've just received since doing that has just been amazing. And we're all so thankful for it, like, you know.
Chris, you went out there thinking, all right, there's a chance we could do it. But like, for ye, did you yourself go, we will do it? Or were you thinking, there's only a chance?
Look, yeah, you always have the belief, but at the end of the day, you never know. There was countries in there, you know, we're drawn in the heat with the likes of Great Britain, Brazil, Germany. And we still have belief. And we had a great mix as well of youth and experience. So myself and Charlene have came up through the ranks all the way. I think our first international was together in 2014 at the schools. We did European under-20s, European under-23s, you know, team championships, and hopefully now Olympic Games. But so you had us coming through the ranks, and then Phil Healy and Thomas Barr have just been there, done that. They're seasoned internationals. So we had a nice blend of youth and experience. And I think I said as well at the time, you know, a couple of teams would have seen Ireland and be like, ah, you know, we don't need to think about them. But inside the camp, we knew that this team was for the youth experience, and we were really hungry to do it. And yeah, we absolutely believed it. And thankfully on the day, we showed what we can do.
Charlene, you didn't have much time to practice. I mean, you landed on the Wednesday, and it's surprising to hear that you didn't have, it's not like you were training months for this, you know?
Yeah, but I think, like, as I've said before, like, it's really about your individual performance and carrying that through as a team. I think all of us on the day put out our best individual performance, and that's the reason we qualified for the Olympic Games, you know? Like, each of us ran our hearts out that day, and you know, we knew what was at stake. And like, as Chris was saying, like, you know, we knew that we had a good team, and we just wanted to prove that Ireland can be in the mix at these championships. And we performed at a world level, you know, on the day, so it was just unreal.
How does it feel there, standing waiting for the bat and waiting for your turn?
Nerve-wracking.
I was starting, so I'm okay. I just have to pass.
You're fine. You just had to kick things off.
Rather than a fast start, I was happy, you know.
I remember Chris was saying, I'll be screaming for you. And I was like, well, I won't be screaming for you because I'll be tired.
I'll save your energy. I'll do the screaming. So I was saying prayers every time one of us went past. I was just, yeah.
So, Chris, you're quite vocal when it comes to the relay race, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy enough to take on that role and let the others do their talking on the track.
I mean, what exactly do you be roaring when you're coming up to your next partner? You're like, take it. What's going through your head? Like,
yeah, because 400 metres, the last 50 metres, you're swimming and you're crying out for help. So I suppose in a 4x1, you're passing the baton, but this time it's just get this off me as quick as you can, please.
Yeah, I was eyeing up Thomas like when I was running into him, and I was like, don't sprint, whatever you do not sprint. But I think he knew by my facial expression to like take it easy, take it handy. And then once the baton was out of my hands, I was just like, relief, okay, my job is done now. So then you could scream for Thomas as I was dying on the ground, like.
Yeah, it's kind of nerve-wracking. It sounds very nerve-wracking. It's a lot of pressure on yourself, your own individual performance, Chris. Did you feel pressurized starting things off?
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, there's always the doubt of if you get a bad start, and it kind of sets you up then for the rest of the race. So I was happy with my role I played. I put the team in the mix, and then Phil Healy took it on from there, got us into a lead, and Charlene ran a stunning leg as well. And then Tom, with all his experience, was never really going to mess up on last leg. So it worked out really well. I thought, you know, our coach probably selected the four in the right positions, yeah. As well. And yeah, you can be a bit nervy at the start, kind of. At the end of the day, it's a country's weight on your shoulders, but that was just something I was really happy to take on, that challenge, and I pride myself on running for my country as well, so it's just an honour, really.
Yeah, Charlene, he mentioned there that the coach has obviously picked the positions and the technical side of things. Do you have a preferred spot that you would have preferred to run in? Were you happy where you were? Obviously now you're happy where you were, but...
No, I was quite content with running third place. Phil ran in second, and she had to speed out, you know, for the first bend. And she got us in really good contention, which meant that I was running on the inside for all of my 400. So I was really happy with the coach's selection. But at the end of the day, they know best, and we just run in whatever position they give us. Like Chris was saying there, you know, about like the pressure, like, but like, as you say, like, pressure is privilege. So it's been unreal.
I feel like when it comes to the 2B, pressure is for tyres anyway, by the sounds of things. I know you were saying that you're used to kind of running over the few years together, whatever, but how have you built a friendship over the year through the sport? Clearly you might have built a friendship over it.
Yeah, just every time I'm running for Ireland, she seems to be there as well. So long may it last, I suppose, because it means we're both doing well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think because we've been friends so long, like, I just really had a lot of trust in the team. Like, Chris always peps me up before the race, and I went into that race believing in myself. And, you know, it's easy to doubt yourself sometimes, but there wasn't one bit of doubt. And it's because I trust Chris so much, and I trusted the team. So our friendship definitely plays a huge role there.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. I think you need trust in someone like that when you're running for such a big race. But now you're back to the grind now, and things are, you know, this is where things get difficult for you now, because its selection dates are probably around the corner. When exactly are you going to know? Is it the end of June?
Yeah, possibly around the end of June. National Championships will also be a big indicator, but also in we'll take up some races abroad in June as well on our own, and we'll try and get as fast time as possible. And just, yeah, we were the team that got there, and the coach would like to stay loyal to that, but there'll also be people, you know, licking their lips at home as well, saying, I want to get on this team. So we need to be on our toes and make sure our spot's secure over the next 2 months. So the worst thing we can do now is think that the job is done. We're back into hard training, and that's absolutely, we're just looking forward to the challenge now of everyone else stepping up and trying to take our places. But that's a challenge that we're looking forward to.
I mean, in a way, Charlene, like Chris is saying, you know, that obviously you were the team that got there, and it would be extremely unfair if anyone else was to take the spot ahead of you, because you're like, well, I was the one that got us here, so how come I'm not going?
Yeah, I think we just, like, as Chris was saying, it's going to be an exciting next couple of months. Like, national championships is really where it will be at. Like, you're going to have, I'd say, God knows how many people running the 400 this year. Yeah. But, like, it's a really good thing for Irish athletics, and it's a really good thing for us to be able to get competitive races over the 400 metres in Ireland especially. Like, as Chris was saying, I'm going to travel abroad. Chris is going to travel abroad. We're going to get our races in abroad. So we are racing really good people, but it would be great to come back to Ireland and, you know, show our form and show our class on the day, and hopefully that will show up why we were selected for the team.
Yeah, what about practice now for this sort of thing? I mean, you probably won't get to practice again. Is it the next time you're going to do it again in Tokyo, lads? Or
yeah, it'll be out in Tokyo. That, to be fair, it worked out well in the end, because I was on a training camp in Spain in April, and Phil Healy was there, so I was passing to Phil in Spain, and Thomas and Charlene are based in Limerick, so Charlene was passing to Thomas in training, so that worked out really well. So yeah, we'll still have plenty of time, I'm sure, in the holding camp before Tokyo to get all that spot on, because yeah, it worked out well on the day, so we'd be confident again.
How have you figured out the success of athletics this year? Has been absolutely amazing. I mean, we saw at the start of the year there was such a break in lack of competitions, and then everyone returned to action and there was PBs flying all over the place. Do you think it's because people wanted that bite and they were just waiting for the chance to hit go again?
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone over COVID like was training really hard, and I think everyone was so eager when competitions came out, and everyone, we didn't have many competitions, so we were going out to run our very best on the day, you know. So I definitely think the lack of competitions last year definitely helped us all bounce back again this year. And everyone wanted to go out and run fast. So that's kind of what we did.
Yeah, it is. Chris, what's next for you now? What's next in line? What are we keeping an eye out for you for?
Yeah, so I'll go back. The relay job is done for now. So I'll go back into my own 400 meter races. We're looking at kind of the next 3 weeks. The rest of May is going to be just training very hard. So I'm targeting to run fast in June. I've got a two or three lined up abroad in June. I'm looking at Slovakia, Copenhagen, and there's also the European Team Championships before the National Championships. So I should have four fast runs in June, hopefully. So the next 3 weeks is just hard work preparing for those.
Charlene, you in a similar position?
Yeah, I think I'm going to actually start racing towards the end of May, please God, all staying injury-free and, you know, keeping fit and stuff. So I'm hoping to, as Chris said, target European Team Champs and also Nationals. That will be mainly where I will be peaking first. So hopefully we'll get a couple of fast runs in my legs before then. But yeah, that's the aim as of now.
Also, I know that you have booked a spot in Tokyo, but you probably, in a way, like, it's a massive dream for any athlete to get to go there. And Chris, it's obviously in the back of your mind a small bit that it could be happening. Hopefully it will be happening for both of you. But like, there's a massive chance that you'll be in Tokyo this year for your country.
Ah, yeah, I mean, it's something that we all dream of as a kid. You never really think it's going to happen, but as well, and it was interesting as well last week, the village I'm from, we had another qualifier, Mona McSharry. So when she qualified as well last week, I was like, right, I better up my game here. So if we can get the two of us going out there, it would be amazing as well.
That's Sharni Maudsley and Chris O'Donnell, Irish Mixed Relay team members, chatting with Valerie during the week. Really, really interesting chat with the two Irish athletes. Nearly out of time. Just before we wrap up, team news from Goodison Park. Everton taking on Sheffield United. Shane Pennington.
Everton boss Carlo Ancelotti makes one change from the side that drew 0-0 with Aston Villa last Thursday night. James Rodriguez comes back into the starting lineup after injury. He replaces Gylfi Sigurdsson, who drops down to the bench. Whilst for Sheffield United, caretaker boss Paul Heckingbottom makes three changes from the side that lost 2-0 at home to Crystal Palace last weekend. Jack Robinson, Ben Osborne and Daniel Jeberson all come in. It's his first start for the 17-year-old Jeberson, and they replace Brian Berg and Oliver Burke. At Goodison Park, it's Everton against Sheffield United.
Yeah, that's underway in the next couple of minutes. That's pretty much it from us. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way this evening. If you missed any of our show, you can grab it on our podcast, available on redfm.ie or from wherever you download good podcasts from. Follow us on Twitter at Big Red Bench. We're back next Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. with what will be, of course, two very, very busy shows. Thank you again for tuning our way. Conor Halpin's up next with Green and Red. 3 hours of the best Irish music coming your way right here on Cork's Red FM. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, folks. I'll chat to you next week.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.